You're listening to Your Financial Choices on WDIY Allentown. Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics, and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. To ensure compliance with requirements imposed by the IRS, we inform you that any U.S. federal tax advice contained in this communication is not intended to or to be used for the purpose of avoiding penalties under the Internal Revenue Code or promoting marketing or recommending to another party any transaction or matter addressed herein. This show is for educational purposes only. For advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert, CPA, CFP, and AEP, on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. Welcome to the show. Last week, we discussed detailed tracking of your assets and liabilities. And tonight, I'm going to move that discussion forward into looking at income and expenses, in essence, your income statement, and then we'll take a little time to kind of put those all together. So I hope you stay tuned with us. I'm a little out of breath. I kind of cut it close getting into the show tonight. We were going to have Judy Ann and Jeff take over for me if I didn't make it. So thank them for being on standby for me. So I apologize. But folks, I hope you stay tuned. I think we had a good show last week. For those of you who had a chance to listen, I'll probably touch on a couple things that we covered last week. And again, always moving us forward, hopefully, in your financial life. Today is May 8th, 2013. The markets were up today. The Dow closing at 15,105, the NASDAQ at 3,413, and the S&P at 1,632. I am happy to have you all here. We are live. We welcome your questions. You can call in and talk live with us. Judy Ann is in the studio, and she'll take your calls, ask you to mute your radio so that you can hear and talk with me without confusion. Or if you're not comfortable talking live on air, you can give her the question. She'll jot it down and she'll bring it into the studio for me. Last week, we had several callers. I sincerely appreciate those of you who call in with your questions. Makes it more interesting for me. Gives me a break from talking. And I think it's more interesting for the listeners as well. So if you do have questions, again, on air off or off air, the number is 610-758-8810. That is 610-758-8810. So tonight we're going to move forward from the balance sheet to your income statement. I do want to mention, because I had a call at the end of the show last week asking for an Excel spreadsheet that I had mentioned on air. I had put together something for a seminar I had done at a local corporation about financial planning, and it's not something that we have to use in our practice because we have, you know, proprietary software to do financial planning. But I thought it was a great tool for folks who like to do things on their own. In particular, I think engineers are quite interested in it. But I haven't dusted it off in a while, so I'm assuming all the cells still kind of, you know, connect and talk to each other. But that Excel spreadsheet is a very handy tool, even if you just print it off and hand write in it. Even if you don't know how to use Excel, you can print it off. And it basically is your kind of Bible to your financial life. It has information about gathering, information about your assets, your liabilities, and then summarizing those in totals. Not just the values of your assets and liabilities, but also how you have those assets titled, if you have beneficiary designations, your primary beneficiaries, your contingent beneficiaries. There's a cash flow statement. It talks about the money coming in, the money going out, and also details about your insurance, life insurance, car insurance. So I can talk about that as we go through the show. But for folks who did want a copy of that, I was able to email that hopefully got the correct email address with the person, because I didn't get their name, so I simply sent out the email to the caller. So if you do want a copy of that spreadsheet that I talked about last week, just let Judy Ann know your email address, and I'll be happy to email it to you. And if you include your name, too, I'd like to at least say hello. Thank you for listening. And again, I'll mention that as we go throughout the show. So let's talk about, why is it important to have an income statement or understand what it is? And it's because, bottom line, every aspect of your life hinges on your finances, right? I mean, we can't go through a day without having to think about money in some respect. Even when we're on vacation, we have to think about how much vacation is costing us and what we're spending on, you know, mint juleps or something. So in order to save and build up your assets so that we have a balance sheet to fill out, we have to know how we spend. We have to have money to live. You need to have the basics, including food, clothing, shelter. Many of us today think the basics include cell phones and cable. Personally, I don't know how I would survive without my phone. That's more basic than the house, I think. So when we start thinking of wants, because in the old days, a cell phone was probably a want. Now it is a need, or it feels like a need anyway. We really need to get our house in order. We have to understand the picture of not only what we have, but how we spend our money. So before we get into the income statement, though, I thought it would help by putting things in perspective so that we can have an incentive to pay attention to these things. Because I think in general, we might think, oh, we make money, you know, we pay our bills. And we're not thinking about the impact of what that means or understanding how that eventually kind of flows through and does affect us in our future. If you think about it, if we think of life as a cycle, you know, sometimes people, you get paid the same amount of money every month. Okay, so every month the same amount of money comes in, and every month you have some basic expenses. Every month you pay your, let's say it's rent. You pay your rent, you pay your utilities, you earn your money, pay your rent, pay your utilities, earn your money. And there may be a pattern to that, but life isn't always that consistent pattern. We can't always count on it to work that way, because all of a sudden something happens, we get sick, and we've used up all of our sick time and our vacation time, and now we have to take time off work, and all of a sudden that monthly income we had coming in isn't there. Or maybe we are a homeowner and we have consistent monthly expenses for our mortgage, and all of a sudden we have that real estate tax bill that we pay once a year, or that car insurance that we pay maybe once or twice a year. So if we think about that in our day-to-day lives while we're working, that is still something we think we can manage. But if we take the whole spectrum of our life and think about, it's not just today during our working years that we have to make sure we're planning for those odd expenses, for those odd occurrences. It's also our retirement that we have to make sure that we're planning for. So it's in today and how we manage our finances today that will help us resolve the unknown of our retirement. So we need to, you know, put in our budget today savings for retirement, savings for those things that we can't always anticipate. For example, my brother-in-law lives in Washington. He's 52 years old. His wife is battling cancer. She's younger than him. She's like 49. They have a six-year-old daughter. It's hard enough and sad enough to think about an unknown like that. And now he is sick, and they cannot figure out what is wrong with him. And, you know, he's having trouble functioning, working, dizzy spells, all kinds of things. Could be stress related, but they're saying it's not, that there's some physiological thing, but they can't find the root cause for it. An extreme unknown. But who would imagine, again, at these years that we would have these kinds of problems? It's so often, you know, as parents, when you have teenage children, you might say, oh, you know, kids, they think they're invincible. Well, guess what? 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds, we think we're invincible too. We think we're going to, you know, do the normal routine of retiring at, you know, 62, 65, 66, whatever it is. But we're not all invincible. And so a little planning has to come into play at some point. And I know it can be painful, but it's a good, it's just a good habit to get into to try to take care of business. It relieves the stress in our lives to try to make sure we're taking care of some of these. So with all that waxing and waning about those stories, I've already come up to my first break. So I apologize that when we get back from that, we will start the show talking about your income statement and what spending habits mean in that. Phone number 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Sunday is Mother's Day. What are you planning for the woman who changed your diapers, wiped your nose, drove you to practice, and shaped you into the adult you've become? WDIY has partnered with Richmar Florist to send a beautiful bouquet to that special mom in your life. For a donation of $100 to the station, we'll send a Designer's Choice Spring Mixed Bouquet to your mom or any special mom anywhere in the U.S. All you have to do is log on to WDIY.org, fill out the simple form, and we'll take care of the rest. Get those hankies ready, because you're about to be smothered with kisses this Mother's Day.
Okay, welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert, and we are talking about income statement. Last week, we talked about balance sheet. You might be thinking, oh, wait, Lori, that sounds so business-like. Well, maybe we need to run our personal lives more like a business. We want to make a profit, folks. We want you to have something to retire on. So the important thing about the balance sheet was knowing what your assets and liabilities are, as well as how much your assets are earning for you and how much your liabilities are costing you. And that's going to come into play when we look at an income statement. So you want to have that balance sheet in order. And again, if you want a copy of that Excel spreadsheet, I think I called it a lifetime planning worksheet, you could just give us a call at 610-758-8810. Let Judy Ann know your email address, and I'd be happy to email that to you. Again, if you don't have to know how to use Excel, you can actually just print it off and kind of handwrite it. Use it as a guide. You know, put the information on another piece of paper if you need to. But it's available, and it's a nice little summary of how to kind of organize your financial life and get that picture started of your finances so you know what to do going forward. So, talking about the balance sheet, I said we wanted to know what you're earning on your assets, and we wanted to know what your liabilities were costing you. Sometimes we have fixed expenses when against our assets, like a mortgage. When we're talking about income, we also have expenses and income that can be variable. Some income and expenses can be fixed, meaning they're measurable, you know, they're the same amount every month. We can count on them. Some of our expenses can be discretionary, meaning we have a choice whether we spend money or not. And some of our expenses can be non-discretionary. All right, non-discretionary, meaning, again, fixed expenses. So I wanted to mention, though, I forgot there was a quote I wanted to mention. I had read something in a novel. I won't tell you what kind of novel I was reading, but I was reading a novel. And a character had said in this novel, basically, that it's easier to save a dollar than to earn a dollar. It's easier to save a dollar than to earn a dollar. And I thought that just kind of stuck out with me. And I'm going to have to keep repeating that to myself to remember that it's easier to save a dollar than to earn a dollar. I don't spend a lot on myself, but I do tend to spend very willingly with my children for some reason, probably because I was one of six and always had to pay for everything myself. So I tend to spoil my children a little bit. But keep that in mind in your financial life, that it's easier to save it than to earn it. Talking about expenses, on the IRS website, you can find some national standards for various living expenses. I thought this was so interesting, and it's very, very current. It was as of April 1st of 2013, and these national standards cover food, clothing, and other items. That's one standard, food, clothing, and other items. The second was out-of-pocket health care. The third was transportation. And the fourth was housing and utilities. Like, what is the national standard for cost relating to each of these categories? And for the housing and utilities, it was actually by state and then by county. So I actually could drill down to Pennsylvania and Lehigh County, Northampton County, New Jersey, Warren County for our Phillipsburg, New Jersey listeners. Very, very interesting. And it costs more, by the way, you poor New Jersey people. It costs more money to live in Warren County for sure than Lehigh Valley. And actually, Lehigh County and Northampton County costs more than Lehigh County. These are national standards. So I'll tell you a little bit about where these come from and why is it on the IRS website. Interestingly, and I had not seen these before, but the IRS collects this information because they use it in calculating repayment of delinquent taxes. So if you owe taxes to the IRS, there must be a way that they calculate your repayment period and amounts that you can repay, and they base it on this information of national standards. So hopefully you'll never be in that situation, but that's what they use it for. So I think that we can use it in trying to put some perspective on our spending. Now listen to this. If I added up the standard for all of the above for one person, so that's food, clothing, out-of-pocket health care, transportation, housing and utilities, just those four categories, the national standard for someone under age 60 living in Lehigh County, the monthly amount is $2,714, which is $32,568 per year. And that's after taxes. So you'd have to make, if you were single, you'd have to make about $35,000 a year just to maintain the national standard of living. That doesn't include probably lots of extras, folks. That's working full-time, making just less than $17 an hour in order to earn $35,000. If you have a minimum wage full-time job, you make $7.25 an hour, and that's about $15,000 a year. So someone who's making minimum wage working full-time, you don't even make enough money to meet these national standard amounts. All right? Now, you again have to recognize that these numbers were based on one person, and some expenses are variable. So it depends on, you know, when you talk about food, if it's it was $315 for one person, but two people was $556. So not quite double, but almost double. But if you look at the housing expenses for one person in Lehigh County was about $1,500, but for a family of four, it was only $2,100. So you do have to recognize that when you have multiple people sharing fixed expenses, obviously it's going to reduce the overall expenses, you know, as a whole. So the idea is that's why college kids, recent graduates, young singles probably share apartments, share housing, you know, think about maybe buying a house, you know, with a buddy, and then, you know, then you have some deductions and things like that. So you share some of the fixed expenses that will help reduce some of your out-of-pocket expenses, because you may not be able to make it on minimum wage for some of these costs. All right. So a family of four's monthly cost would be about, for all of these categories, would be about $4,884 or $58,608 a year. Now, again, I didn't back into the after-tax, you know, that is the after-tax expenses. So before taxes, we're talking, you know, $60,000 plus for a family of four. Again, basic national standards for living expenses. And when we come back from our next break, I'll explain what's included in some of these expenses, because you'd be surprised. They seem to kind of account for a lot of things. But what I want to know is, how often don't you figure in a lot of things, like the cost of your laundry? So when we come back, we'll continue our discussion. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
We are talking about income statement. Last week we talked about the balance sheet. If you want a copy of that Excel spreadsheet that I have mentioned a couple times and last week, just call in, let Judy Ann know. We will email it to you. You'll have to give her your email address and at least give her your first name so I can say hello and thank you for listening. The phone number to call in is 610-758-8810. If you have questions this evening, you're welcome to call in questions. It doesn't have to be regarding our topic. It can be about any financially related topic. If you want to call in and give me ideas of show topics, things you're interested in hearing more about, things you don't know enough about, or that, you know, people just don't seem to talk about in your financial life, we welcome ideas for shows as well. Again, that phone number is 610-758-8810, and you can talk live on air or give the information to Judy Ann, and she will bring it in to me. So when we talked about these national standards for living costs that are on the IRS's website, irs.gov, very interesting information, they break this down for food, clothing, and other items. And within that category, they have included in this monthly amount for one person of $583, they've included food, housekeeping supplies. See, these are the little things we sometimes forget about. Apparel and services. $88 a month, folks, for apparel and services. So if you're spending, I think I could spend more than $88 in one trip to the store, let alone in a month. So food, $315. Housekeeping supplies, $30 a month. I might be a little lower on that one because I'm not the best housekeeper. Apparel and services, $88. Personal care products and services, $34. Miscellaneous, $116. So I think they're kind of fairly generous on that one. But that is your basic national standards for food, clothing, and other items. I am thinking other items might include such things as, what would it be, like television? Let me look up here. They say the standards are derived from the Bureau of Labor Statistics Consumer Expenditure Survey. Food includes food at home and food away from home. And food at home refers to the total expenditures for food from grocery stores or other food stores. It excludes non-food items. It does include meals, snacks, tips, fast food, takeout, delivery, and full-service restaurants. So sometimes I'll hear people say they spend $400 a month at the grocery store. This standard by this report of $315 a month includes your groceries and your takeout and your fast food and your dining out. Housekeeping includes laundry, cleaning supplies, things like that, postage, household products. Apparel includes clothing, footwear, Personal care products include products for the hair, oral hygiene, shaving needs, cosmetics, and bath products. Electric, personal care appliance, and personal care products. So there's a lot of cost that they fit into that $34 a month. If we did a budget for ourselves and broke it down into these categories, it would be very interesting to see how we spend compared to national averages. The miscellaneous, which was $115 a month, it says miscellaneous allowances for expenses taxpayer may incur that are not included in any other allowable living expense items. Taxpayers can use miscellaneous allowance to pay for expenses that exceed the standards. For other expenses such as credit card payments, bank fees, charges, reading materials, school supplies, I suppose that would also include our cable folks. So when we look at $116 a month, your cable bill may be more than that. Lot to put in perspective. Medical expenses. Now, this out-of-pocket health care, this I thought seemed really low. So I'm not sure. You'll have to judge it against what your expenses look like. But for people under 65, the national standard for out-of-pocket health care is $60 a month. I think my out-of-pocket health care is way more than that. So what I imagine based on this national average is there's probably a lot of people who aren't going to the doctor and not buying insurance and not paying for some of the medical needs they might have. For people 65 and older, they have it as only $144 a month. I can't even imagine that either, because when I hear these healthcare plans, these Medigap policies or these supplemental policies when people have Medicare, I'm thinking they're paying more than $144 a month. But national standards, just to give you a little perspective on your own spending. Transportation, $517 a month for one car. And what do they figure in for transportation? They figure a monthly loan or lease, which is part of ownership cost, and then additional amounts for operating expenses, such as repairs, insurance, fuel, registration, licenses, inspections, parking, and tolls. So they try to fit in a lot of other miscellaneous expenses in with that as well. So when you look at your monthly expenses for your transportation, if you have a car loan for $500 a month, you know, you're already exceeding what we would call the local standard or the national standard for transportation. We had someone call in off air. Steve called in. He said, inquiry about Excel spreadsheet. What does it include? What should personal finance sheet include? And can you review? Steve, yes, I will review that. I'm coming up on my next break in like 2 minutes. So I think what I will do is hold off on explaining the Excel spreadsheet when we come back from that next break. So thank you for calling and asking about it. I will go through that. The phone number, folks, this evening is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. I want to mention one more thing about this transportation calculation. There is also a standard for public transportation. So again, if you're someone who maybe you're fresh out of college, you're debating about whether you need a car or not, if you've not explored public transportation in the past, maybe it's time to explore public transportation. I myself used public transportation for many years as a young adult. I was running between three jobs, no joke, and jumping on the bus. I'd get a call at the last minute, Lori, can you come fill in for Anne? She can't make it into work. I would jump on that bus and be to the drugstore within 15 minutes because I needed to make money and earn money, and the bus, I think, probably cost a quarter back then. I have no idea. But public transportation can be very handy, and, you know, it's economical, it's environmental, and all things like that. So the national monthly amount for public transportation they have is $182 a month, and I would almost guess that that might be a little higher than what it might cost most people. I don't know. I haven't ridden the bus in a long time. $182 a month looks a little high for me, I'm thinking. So always an option, and try to keep those options open, especially for folks who live in the city. My brother lives in Philadelphia, and he has never had a car. He just rents one once in a while when he needs it, and the cost savings have been, you know, astronomical for him. He's doing very well because he's never had car payments. So folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. And Steve, we're going to talk about the Excel spreadsheet when we come back from the break. Back in a sec.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
And we are back. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA and a certified financial planner and an accredited estate planner. I like helping people with their financial choices. They're your financial choices. It's all about what you decide to do with your choices. And hopefully listening to this show helps guide you a little bit and gets you motivated to do something. And doing anything is better than doing nothing. I end the show each week saying be proactive, not reactive. I've seen too many times where being reactive doesn't always give you the best solution as being proactive. So let's try to make sure we take care of business here. We had a call, Steve, who called earlier and asked about this Excel spreadsheet that I've mentioned and asked what is included in it and what should a personal finance sheet include. And basically, I think that this spreadsheet does that. Let me give the phone number one more time, 610-758-8810. If you have questions this evening, we can talk live on air or off air. Judy Ann's in the studio. You can give her the question. She can bring it in to me. Or if you want a copy of this Excel spreadsheet, give her your email and I can email it to you. And if you're not comfortable talking on air, just give her the question and she can bring it in. So what this includes, basically, tab one in the Excel spreadsheet is a balance sheet summary. And then there is a tab that has more detail that hopefully if all the cells have connected, will carry forward into the summary page. The summary page basically lists your assets and your liabilities, and then the difference is your net worth. So the assets hopefully will go more liquid to less liquid. So we start with cash equivalents, which is your basically your savings accounts, checking accounts, money market accounts, maybe I don't know what other kinds of cash equivalents you might have. Cash, like literally cash. Then we have common stocks, mutual funds, variable annuities, cash surrender value and life insurance. We have real estate, personal property, and retirement assets. And the reason I have retirement assets a little lower is simply because there's tax consequences related to those, that if you had to take out a distribution or tap those, depending on what age you are, there's going to be income tax and possibly a 10% penalty. So I like to kind of put that lower, even though technically a retirement account would be more liquid than your real estate. The thing with real estate is sometimes you can get a home equity loan and not have income tax consequences, at least to the negative, on taking out a loan if you had to do something like that. So that's your list of your assets. Then your liabilities. I start with credit cards, other liabilities, your mortgages, home equity loans, car loans, student loans. And these are just general categories that I see the most of. You yourself might have other types of information in here that you'd have to add, but that covers the gist of it. In that balance sheet summary, we also talk about ownership and how accounts are titled. This is very important moving forward for your estate planning. If you end up, you know, going into divorce, it's good to have this broken down so you kind of know how the assets are split. And it could help if you're maybe starting a business and going in for financing on just your record versus, you know, the spouse's record. So what I tried to encompass in this workbook is information that you would need in more than one facet of your life. So by detailing how you own the assets, it's going to help you, as I said, in your estate planning, detailing how you have beneficiary designations and things like that will also help with the estate planning. So we have columns, self, meaning individual accounts. If an account is in your spouse's name, joint. If an account is joint with spouses, we call that joint by rights of by the entireties. You may have an account joint with a sibling. It may be with rites of survivorship. It doesn't have to be with a sibling. It could be with a parent. Tenants in common, meaning you each own your own interest, and rights of survivorship. So that's what I'm talking about if you own an account, maybe with a sibling or a parent or something like that. Then we have a detailed tab on that Excel spreadsheet where you can actually break down the actual account names. Instead of just saying, oh, I have, you know, $100,000 in the bank, there's a detailed tab that will say, oh, I have $100, you know, I have $50,000 at bank ABC and $40,000 at bank DEF and $10,000 at XYZ, because each of your accounts may be held differently. So that's why you really want to drill down and get into all the details of the account titling. When you start looking at the values of brokerage accounts, when we look at your equities and your mutual funds, we want to know the value of those and also how they're titled. But another important aspect, which isn't on this Excel spreadsheet, but you could have as a separate tab if you take the time to do it, or at least indicate on your Excel spreadsheet where you find this information, and that is your cost basis. Because having the cost basis on your underlying investments also helps you make better decisions when you're in a pinch. If all of a sudden you're in an emergency and you need $40,000 quick, and you call your broker and you say, I need $40,000, if they're not paying attention, they may just sell something that's worth $40,000 and you might have a big gain on it or a big loss. And, you know, maybe that's not what you wanted to do. So by tracking your cost basis on your investments, you can also, and having that at your, you know, ready fingertips, you can make better decisions about what you're going to sell to maybe generate that $40,000. Maybe you have $40,000 cash in the bank. You look at your little Excel spreadsheet here and you say, oh, I've got plenty of cash. I can go ahead and do that. So you use this as a tool for your decision making. Folks, before I continue, I'm just going to give the phone number again, 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. Also, on the Excel spreadsheet, we talk about real estate, breaking it down between, is it investment property or your principal residence? There are lots of folks who have their principal residence and then maybe an interest in a vacation home, maybe a vacation home themselves, maybe they're named as a joint owner on a property with their parents. That's all important information for you to have, or a survivor to have if something were to happen to you, to know what kind of real estate interest you have. I have clients who inherited real estate from parents and they have, you know, land in Michigan. Well, you know, unless you're forthright with your children or your heirs or, you know, whomever's your survivor, they may not remember that you have that land somewhere. In fact, accounts are quite often forgotten. You've got to remember, if you've not heard this before, very important to occasionally go check on Pennsylvania's website. If you are a resident of Pennsylvania, if you've ever lived in Pennsylvania, go on the Pennsylvania Treasury. It's called patreasury.gov, //, I don't know which way the slash goes, unclaimed. You can also just Google unclaimed property in Pennsylvania, and you go in, you type your name, and you make sure you don't have any unclaimed property, because for folks who don't leave lists of assets like what I'm talking about tonight, chances are sometimes assets get lost and heirs never know it because they don't check. So it's really important to kind of have a handle on your personal property, you know, your bank accounts and that type of thing. I will make an observation. I have noticed that people who are very good with their money, their name never shows up on the unclaimed property list. But people who kind of are willy-nilly about it, quite often I will find their names on the unclaimed property. So you got to really pay attention to your own interest here. All right. So this detailed Excel spreadsheet goes into all the different kinds of assets you can have, how they are titled, and then again, beneficiary designations. Beneficiary designations are really important on retirement accounts because if you are not careful about naming the proper beneficiary, your heirs could suffer extreme income tax consequences. If you don't have an individual named as a beneficiary on a retirement account, and for example, it defaults to your estate, then the distribution of your retirement account could be accelerated. So if instead of it going to your 30-year-old child, it goes to your estate, your 30-year-old child could have taken that retirement money out over their life expectancy. But if you forgot to name your child and it defaults to your estate, or you named your estate, then that the retirement account gets distributed at a much accelerated pace, and it's usually like within 5 years, if not right away, because usually attorneys and heirs don't want to wait 5 years to kind of dribble the distributions of retirement accounts out. So sometimes it kind of gets accelerated, and that's not always a good thing, especially if you're talking about really, really big retirement accounts. So very important to review your beneficiary designations, primary beneficiaries being the first one named, and then a contingent beneficiary being someone named if the primary beneficiary predeceases you, or maybe the primary beneficiary doesn't want it. I've had cases where I've had a spouse die and the retirement account goes to the surviving spouse. But the surviving spouse didn't need it. And the surviving spouse really, you know, wanted to make gifts to their children. Well, in lieu of having that retirement account go to the surviving spouse, the surviving spouse can disclaim it, say, "I don't want it." If the contingent beneficiaries are lined up right. If the surviving spouse says, "I don't want it," then the custodian will say, "Well, if surviving spouse doesn't want it, then who's listed next?" "Oh, the children are listed next." Now the custodian, in lieu of passing it to the surviving spouse, can make it payable to the children over their life expectancies. I'm simplifying what I'm talking about. It's a little bit more complicated than that. You want to work with your attorney. You want to work with your financial advisor to make sure that you're doing everything properly. But this is why it's important to get this information down and make sure it's all accounted for, because it gives you a lot of great options. Now, Steve, I'm going very long-winded talking about my Excel spreadsheet here. Let me see if I can kind of wrap this up a little bit. On there, Steve had also asked, I believe, about a budget. There is a cash flow worksheet. That cash flow worksheet has on it a section for your income sources, which are your wages, pension, Social Security. Then, you know, there might be some other type of income that you have. I want to caution you, though, about income sources. I'm talking about those income sources that are coming from something other than your assets. I'm not talking about your investment income necessarily. That is listed on this budget. But I like people to think about what income they know is kind of fixed, the wages, pension, Social Security. Then you can break it down between paid monthly or paid annually. And then the expenses, Steve, are also broken down, whether it's mortgage or rent, property taxes, insurance, utilities, maintenance. Then we have transportation expenses, much like the categories I talked about at the beginning of the show that are posted on the IRS's website under those national standards. So we have the housing expenses, the transportation expenses, food, clothing, medical, personal care. Then we also have things that aren't listed on those national standards, things like life insurance expenses, maybe disability insurance, liability insurance if you have umbrella policies, taxes, we have federal, state, local, Social Security, entertainment, dining out, recreation, gifts, vacations, charitable contributions, and miscellaneous expenses. So those are all on that cash flow worksheet that is part of that Excel lifetime planning workbook that I have. And there's some other information on there, and I'll go over that when I come back from this next break. Folks, if you have questions, Judy Ann's here in the studio. We have plenty of time. You can call in. Phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Thank you, Jeff. Phone number 610-758-8810. If you want a copy of this Excel spreadsheet, let Judy Ann know. We will email you. And you have to give us your email address, though, and at least your first name so that I can say hello. Again, the phone number is 610-758-8810. I'm going to finish talking about the spreadsheet in just a minute. I was noticing the housing and utility standard on the IRS's website for housing and utilities also included, because I thought this was included in the miscellaneous number that I mentioned earlier for like other, and it was not there. It is included in housing and utilities, and that is your cable. So housing and utilities for a family of one included property taxes, interest, insurance, maintenance, repairs, gas, electric, water, heating, oil, garbage, residential telephone, cell phone, cable television, and internet service. I don't think I had said that earlier. So again, Lehigh County was $1,554 for one, a family of one, $2,145 for a family of four. So that's the housing and utility cost. Northampton County was $1,614 for one person and $2,228 for four. And then I thought for fun I would mention New Jersey, Warren County, which is $2,093 for one. So that's like $500 or $600 more a month for one person. And for a family of four, it was $2,889. So obviously, as we increase the size of the family, the overall average expenses go down. And that's because, you know, you have more people with the same fixed cost. Housing costs tend to be fixed. Okay. Phone number 610-758-8810. A few other items on this lifetime planning workbook before I finish my discussion about your income statement is you should start the workbook by looking at your life goals. Because let me tell you something, if you don't know what your goals are, you don't know, you know, what's important to you in life, then you're not going to know how to spend your money. So you really want to know what you're saving for, what you're saving toward, what goals you're saving toward. You know, is it important for you to pay, if you have children, is it important to pay for their college education? Is it important for you to take family vacations? Is it more important for you to spend on, you know, wants, material objects, or is it more important for you to spend on experiences? Okay, so you've got to kind of understand yourself, meaning spending money on an experience. You take the family to Disney, or you take the family to the Iron Pigs game. To me, that's an experience. I love that. Or do you spend your money, you know, going out to eat? Or do you spend your money on magazines? Do you spend your money on books? Do you spend your money on, you know, I don't know, something more frivolous like, you know, fancy makeup or something? So know yourself, understand your goals. What are your lifetime goals? When do you want to retire? Are there special vacations you want to take? Is it your lifetime goal to go to Spain? Do you want a new house, or do you want to downsize your house? Again, do you want to spend on your children's education? Do you want to get an advanced degree? Financial goals, financial independence, how you budget. So these are goals you want to have. Say, maybe I want to implement a budget for myself. And then you take those goals and you start breaking them down and you start seeing how you're going to meet those. So that's part of that spreadsheet. And then also there's a worksheet for life insurance. Life insurance based on you and your spouse, if you have one, or your significant other, what is the type of life insurance? Is it whole life, term, you know, universal life? Who's the owner? Because sometimes the owner isn't necessarily the insured person. It's important to know for estate planning. Who's the beneficiary, the primary beneficiary? Who's the contingent beneficiary? Hey, folks, you know, I've said this recently. If you have life insurance out there and you've had a recent change in your life, meaning you got married or you had children, you need to review those beneficiary designations. If you named mom or dad, you know, 20 years ago and you never changed it, and now you've married and have kids, you need to go change that. You know, unless you still want mom and dad to get your life insurance, because it doesn't revert to your spouse. So many people think things automatically revert to their spouse. Not necessarily the case. So the life insurance, it also has a place for the death benefit and cash surrender value if it's like a whole life policy, and your annual premium. Why is that important? Remember, I told you these worksheets are to help you in your financial decisions as you move forward through your life. The annual premium is important because that term policy that you bought 10 years ago, you might be able to get cheaper today and maybe even more insurance. You have to review these things periodically. So if you bought a $200,000 term life policy 10 years ago and you have another, you know, 15 years on it, you've got to revisit that. There's always new products in the insurance world. I'm not an insurance person, so I, you know, can't speak to that specifically, but I know that there's always new products out, and sometimes better premiums come up with different kinds of insurance policies. So it's something worth reviewing every now and then. If you have this all detailed and listed on your little inventory here, then you won't miss anything. And it's a great reminder for you to review that. Other insurances that need to be reviewed periodically, your auto insurance, because what happens to your car? It gets older, and sometimes you don't need the collision, you know, insurance, the full coverage. You don't need as much as the car gets older, because you're not going to have any coverage anyway if it gets totaled, because it's not worth much. So don't carry full insurance on, you know, older vehicles. How will you know that? Well, you keep track of which cars you have, what the amount of deductible is, what kind of coverage do you have, and what is the annual premium. When you go to shop insurance, because when we're talking about income statement and you start tracking what you're paying for insurance, you might say, hey, can I go? I want to reduce my expenses. I need to go shop for better insurance. You pull out your handy dandy inventory and you have all your coverage there. You have the amount of coverage. You have your annual premium. It's much easier to compare apples to apples when you are shopping for new insurance. The same thing applies for your disability insurance. If it's not through your employer, if you have an individual policy, you want to make sure you have adequate coverage. You also want to know, are you paying, you know, through payroll deduction? Is it pre-tax? Is it after-tax? There's different tax consequences on how you pay for disability insurance if it's through your employer. If you're doing it on your own, you're not taking a deduction for it, then if you eventually need disability, it's not going to be income taxable to you. Homeowners, you need to know deductibles, what your coverage is for your personal property. You want to make sure that your homeowner's insurance coverage is adequate for the value of your home. And I assume that your insurance agent reviews that with you periodically, but if they're not, you need to ask those questions. As you get older, you might be buying long-term care. You have to understand not all long-term care policies are the same. You're buying, you can tweak different benefits of a long-term care policy to reduce the cost that will work within your means. So you really need to understand what you're buying, and you need to have that documented somewhere such that if you end up becoming mentally incapacitated, your loved ones can pick up that policy and they'll know what your coverage is. And you know, whether they have to continue to pay for the policy. You don't want to have these kinds of things lapse if you've been paying for them for years. You just don't want to get into that trouble. Okay, so I think I've covered the worksheet, and putting that all together, folks, is going to be so empowering for you in making future financial decisions as far as, again, your cash flow. If you have your balance sheet and you know how much money you're earning on your different assets and you know how much your liabilities are costing you, it can make your decision making much, much better. And the other big aha moment you could get when you lay out your assets and your liabilities, the difference between your assets and your liabilities is your net worth. The big aha moment is sometimes you don't have any net worth. And don't feel bad about that, because we've probably all been there at some point in our life. But the beauty of doing this exercise is that once you have awareness, you can do something about it. And the ability to do something about it is further empowered by having access to know, what are my investments making? What is my mortgage costing me? What is my auto insurance costing me? That type of thing, you can make much better decisions. So get it down on paper. Another, you know, just kind of observation I wanted to make about all of this is, for some people, pictures work much, much better than, you know, Excel spreadsheets and, you know, charts and, you know, columns and things like that. So if you're a visual person and you like diagrams much better, you know, pull out a big piece of paper and your kids' crayons, or, you know, maybe your crayons, like in my case, I have my own box of crayons, and you like colors, just take a big piece of paper and you draw a line across the middle of the piece of paper horizontally. And on the top, you put down all your sources of income. So, and sources of income, remember I said not the earnings on your assets. I'm talking about your wages, your Social Security, pension if you have it, disability payments if you have it, whatever those sources of income are without tapping into your assets. That's the ins. And then on the bottom are the outs. And the outs are basically your living expenses, as we discussed earlier, let me just give you a little picture here. So insurance costs, that's your risk management, your taxes, your spending, which is going to be your needs and your wants. Your spending could be, remember, discretionary and non-discretionary. Discretionary means you have a choice. So you put those down at the very bottom. The non-discretionary payments, you definitely have to put on that bottom part of the page. And then, of course, things that are costing you money, like your health insurance, long-term care, your insurance needs. Okay, so those categories of food, clothing, out-of-pocket health, transportation, housing, utilities, and others. That'll give you the picture of what's coming in and what's going out. And then you'll know if you're negative or not. If you're negative, the other thing you have to look at then is, where is your saved wealth? What is your net worth? Then you look to your investments and say, okay, if I'm shy on my income sources to meet my expenses, am I meeting that through my investments? Do I have extra interest income, extra dividend income? Good. Then that's another source. Am I even now? Well, if I'm even, that's very, very good. If I'm not even, then it means I might have to tap into some of those investments and I might be working those down. We see that quite often in retirement. We're come to expect it. The only thing is, at what pace are you eating those assets down? You've got to pace yourself. And the only way you're going to be able to pace yourself is to have a picture of it. So try to find some way to do this that's going to work for you, whether it's using the Excel spreadsheet that I mentioned earlier, or drawing a picture with crayons, whatever. Just doing something is better than nothing. And again, for those folks who are in their 30s, 40s, and 50s, when we make comments again about teenagers thinking they're, you know, immortal and, you know, can do anything, well, guess what? We sometimes think that too. So let's not be so hard on those kids, and make sure that we are taking care of business today, because tomorrow's going to be here before we know it. I thank everyone for listening tonight. I appreciate it. I do like talking about this stuff. If you want a copy of that Excel spreadsheet, you can either email us at yourfinancialchoices.com or lsiebert@valleynationalgroup.com, and I'll shoot you a copy of that. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Judy Ann. Tom Druckenmiller's coming up next with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices, and have a great week.